This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're gonna have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holthus.
We are happy to be joined by Mitch Holthus. His appearance on the show is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, and also by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch is going to join us here coming up in a bit. I want to play this for you if you missed it. Travis Kelce was asked after the game yesterday, what is his timeline to make a decision if he wants to possibly come back next year?
First things first, I just love this team. Guys like Chris Jones over here pointing at me from across the room. I love that guy. I'm proud of the way we finished this, even though, it ended the way it did. Guys still showed up, gave it their all, and that's all you can ask for, man. And I got so much love for this team, this organization, and the people here. So I'll spend some time with them, go through exit meetings tomorrow, and get close to the family and figure things out. Either it hits me quick, Or I got to take some time. I think last year it was a little bit easier. I think I knew right away I wanted to kind of give this one a shot. So I don't know. We'll see.
Right now, we're happy to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Mitch, let's just kind of start with this. Andy was asked this question, and you watch and follow this team as closely as anybody, and I'm sure someone has asked you this at a Christmas party, a holiday party. If you had to sum up what went wrong this year with the team, based off the expectations that we had, based on the roster, the continuity, something went awry with this team. What's your answer? What went wrong for the 2025-2026 Chiefs?
Tell me you off the air, six.
We got a lot of time, Mitch.
There is no one magic answer to that. I'm going to give you a surprising answer for one of them. But we've already gone over one somewhat ad nauseum, and that you stretch the rubber band really far, and not just the fact that you were coming off three straight trips to the Super Bowl and 21 postseason games since Pat's been the QB1, but the fact that the schedule was, and I don't care the teams they played, it was the logistics of the schedule. The two preseason games where we get back at 6 a.m., then you throw in Brazil, which was a real clunky trip. Then you throw in a Sunday night on the road, a Monday night on the road. That was all before Columbus Day. That's one of them. Two, I'll give you a surprising one in a minute because I think it's the story no one's talking about in the NFL, particularly as it pertains going into the playoffs. And I was just crunching some numbers this afternoon, and it somewhat verifies my thesis or my hypothesis. Offensively, it was, I just think, a series of things that never getting into a consistent or continuity or rhythm. I just didn't. There was a couple times maybe, but losing Simmons when they did, the injuries were big, and Simmons being out when it happened, I thought was critical. And then to not have Rashee Rice at the beginning, then you lose Xavier Worthy. It was always off offensively. Defensively, I think there's something big there, and I really want to sit down and talk. Spags and I have talked a little bit about it, but it's really kind of an off-season discussion. And that is, and I'm going through these play-by-play and looking at the video, was the inability at critical times to get teams off the field, especially third and long. And Charger game in Brazil, Jacksonville game, both Denver games, I'm just throwing them out there. Dallas comes to mind. So it's and then the special teams penalties. Field position was difficult. There were top five, I think, in holding on special teams, blocks in the back, and didn't get any explosive returns till late in the season. It's all of those things combined that turned into this season. So. And then yesterday was disappointing to lose that game to them, even though you're on your third offensive tackle on both sides of the offensive line. You're playing Hunter Norzad at right guard, his first ever start. See what he's got. Breshard Smith gets his first ever start. And then you got third and fourth string quarterbacks going. But you still hope you could win that game, especially when you got a fumble recovery at the end. But that brings up my point. The 23-yard down the rail to Michael Mayer is just one of – about, I think, 14 plays I've counted that were like that at critical times. That'll lead me into my hypothesis, but I'll get to that when you ask that question later.
Yeah, so I guess...
I'm trying to be positive here, so I'm not telling you anything I wouldn't say or discuss with the coaches, and have. But there's no one single thing. In fact, there's a lot of things that you need to fix.
100%. This is like a comedy. This is like a trope in comedies that everything can go wrong. Like Meet the Parents, Christmas Vacation. From the moment Greg got to Pam's house, it has went wrong the entire thing. And you're right. It was kind of that feeling the entire season. And every time you felt like you had put out a fire, another fire would just emerge and pop up out of nowhere. That is it. And
in another room.
100%. And at least for me, I there have been times I've been very critical of this team, and I think they deserve it. They were one of the 10 worst teams in the National Football League. But it's funny because I don't really think they're super far off next year. Like, we're not talking about an organization that you feel needs to completely start over. This is an organization that needs to tighten some things up, and I think just kind of put a fresh coat of paint on things. So I understand people are super excited about the draft and what that possibly looks like, and this team has two picks in the top 40. But I'm really looking to what kind of coaching staff changes are they going to make? What kind of swings are they going to take in free agency? And is this team really going to be kind of business as usual and kind of holding on to the, well, if we just flip those one score games, we'll be back where we are? Or do the Chiefs kind of see this thing as, hey, maybe we kind of got to completely renovate the kitchen in order to sell this house?
Well, and I would say, too, then the importance of trying to get a progression and moving forward of the 25, the 24, and the 23 draft classes. Now, if there's anything that came out of these last two or three weeks of the season was the fact that the 25 class on defense started to show signs of maybe the 22 class. Noel Williams, the last two games, 14 tackles. That sack yesterday was awesome. Two run stuffs, four tackles for losses by a DB in two games, and three of those were against Denver, and two passes defense. There's enough there. If you continue to play this defensive style of press cover, I think he fits it perfectly. And he's got a mentality about him. Danan talked about it in the Denver game where he's looking to peanut Tillman the ball. And maybe outside of Bolt, Leo Chanel, there weren't a bunch of guys out trying to punch the ball and get takeaways. We only had 13 takeaways. Cooper McDonald, 18 special teams tackles, but got reps at some strong side backer spots, or snaps, I should say, and that was positive. Ashton Gelati, you see something there that he could be a potential Pro Bowler. 14 tackles in the last four games, a half sack, interception against the Chargers, quarterback hurry pass defense. Those classes, those guys, 25, 24, 23, have got to progress. Coach them up. They've got to be better, everybody across the board, because to lose all your preseason games for 2 years and then to lose that game yesterday is an indication that those guys have to move forward in their careers, push forward, coach them up, and then add to those guys, because that's got to be the guts of your team. There is no way then in one off season that you can fix all of it. And so part of the remedy is for those guys to advance in their careers almost on a singular basis.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtis. He is brought to you by GEHA and also Silverstein Eye Centers. Let's talk about Travis Kelce. I don't think that enough people are talking about it through this lens. It's really two different decisions. It's A, does Travis Kelce want to come back, and does he want to continue to play? And then it's the second part. Travis Kelce right now is not on an NFL team. His contract has expired. Right. So it's just the do you want Travis Kelce to come back conversation, which we see a lot of times when it comes to organizations. You know this very well. Organizations say no to its legends all the time. Joe Montana went to go play for another team. A lot of these guys end up in that situation. So I think so much of the conversation is just about what Travis wants to do. I think we also need to be asking ourselves, what do the Chiefs want to do, and do they continue to see their offense with Travis Kelce in it?
Well, there's a respect level there for Kelce, and it goes two ways. It's a two-way conduit that respects back and forth, and that's a key part, I think, to your question or inference in that you got to give Kelce some time, but you can't have too much time. Not with a team that's got salary cap issues to figure out or strategize moving forward and have that done in the next 30 to 40 days. So what do you want to do, Kelce? And at what price do you want that to be done? Because where the cap situation is and what you have to do and still probably renegotiate with some guys, then you've got to get some freedom there to try to have some kind of free agency buying budget. So it's a two-way street here. And but I think the respect level is such they're like, Travis, what do you want to do? And then we'll figure it out from there. But you're right. It's a two-way decision. But I really think that that's the way you approach it. And so, but I think Kelce will decide. If I had to guess, I think he'll decide fairly shortly. He also knows that he needs to do that for the team one way or the other.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm on the opposite side of you. I think it's maybe I would be a little bit surprised if it's short. Like, I'd be surprised if we find that announcement out before the Super Bowl. I don't really think you need that announcement before the Super Bowl. The league year starts on March
12th. No, but somewhere between the Super Bowl and the start of the league year.
100%. I would say he has somewhere till around the combine, because you and I both know the combine is the unofficial start of the season.
Oh, yeah.
That's when a lot of free agent deals get done. That's where a lot of stuff is being figured out. It might not be announced to us for a couple more weeks, but the first day of the league year is at the NFL Combine. That's 7 weeks from now. That's a lot of time for you and your fiance to go somewhere, turn off your phone, disconnect, figure out what you want to do, let your body heal up, decide if you want to go through back all of those things. Like, you got enough time in the next 7 to 8 weeks to talk to who you need to talk to make a decision on whether or not you want to keep playing football. And while Kansas City is then having the conversation about what they want to do and how they're going to build their offense for 2026.
Well, and I probably didn't make myself clear. I don't disagree with you, but I say fairly soon as being in that window, because you've got to, if you're the team and you're Veach and you've got to figure out what your strategy is going to be, then, but to me, that is fairly soon to me as before or during the combine or right before free agency starts. That's what I meant. This isn't a decision that you'd want to go into May or June, because then that could goof up your whole offseason.
That's way too late.
So that's what I meant. I'm thinking in the next 30, 40 days.
He's not Brett Favre. That would be way late.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that'd be way late.
He's not going to go to some house in North Dakota and sit there for like 2 weeks in the dark. And so that ain't Kelce. He'll get bored.
We don't talk about enough. Brett Favre just decided in July, hey, you know what? I actually still want to play quarterback again. No, we've already decided who our quarterback is.
Yeah.
What would you say their top positions of needs are?
Oh, man, there's a lot. And there's no one area that's more than the most.
You're going to be asked a million times about what you want them to do with this top 10 pick.
But it's straight across the line here. And I'm not going to give you an earth-shattering answer. Edge rusher. When I watched Seattle, I really hadn't watched them in total. We didn't play them this year. I did get that glimpse in preseason, though.
Very impressive what
they did on Saturday. I left Seattle going, these dudes are flesh eaters. And then I haven't really watched them. I know they're having a good year. Hey, Darnold gets all the talk. Then I watched the 49ers game. We took Nate Wetmore his last game in 31 years. So we had dinner and watched the game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. The Chiefs have got to get that energy and fire and talent on defense. So edge rusher, impact player in the secondary on defense, with that safety or corner, you just have to find what Seattle's got. Because right now, that might be enough. And that gets to my thesis point. I want to get to this because I think it's no one's talking about it in the league. But I'm about ready to put it on social media tomorrow or Wednesday. In that, you've got to get a flesh-eating type defense now in the league, particularly the way the league is playing. Offensively, it's obvious. But if a wide receiver, you're going to have to do something if Kelce doesn't come back. You can't replace Travis Kelce. He's one of one. But you're going to be setting at about 80 catches and about 900 yards. You got to replace somehow. And you can spread that out. But that means a rookie player or free agent player is going to be probably both a huge part of that, as well as you hope Rice gets it going and that Xavier gets it going. And you find a running back to get some of those yards back as well. So all of that and a tackle. I mean, the offensive line could be good. If Josh Simmons comes back roaring, there's enough signs there that with him, so Matia shown that he's a left guard. We know about Creed and Trey. And then right tackle, what happens there? But you could get another young player to possibly play there, have Esipole, curious what he'll do. That's part of the coaching up process I talked about. And the same with looking at Jalen Moore, right? He's never been a starter. Let's go every week. And so what do you have there? But all of those things, man, there's the grocery list is long. We got to go to Hy-Vee, and it's going to take a while.
For sure.
Okay.
It's funny that you and I mean the same thing, but use a different term. Like when you say flesh eater, for me, it's you need a dog. Like when you mentioned Seattle's defensive line,
yeah.
I think they need a Seattle version of Frank Clark, like a young on his rookie contract, hungry, out for that second payday.
What we're seeing on all these playoff teams. That's what we're seeing.
Or you need a Danielle Hunter type. Day one in free agency, you need to identify who that pass rusher is, and we know it's not going to be cheap because that's not what pass rush in the free agency is expensive, but you go out there and you find that guy opposite of George Karlaftis. I mean, their leading sack guy had 6 sacks this year. That's just not good enough for a defense. You got to have a 10.5, 11 sack, game-changing kind of defensive lineman. So that's for me.
And like, it's better on these teams. They're finding him in the draft. They're finding that because you want him on a first contract. You go get a free agent. Now you're eating up a bunch of cap. But we just listed all the groceries we've got to go buy at Hy-Vee. Well, if you're spending $200 at the meat counter, you've only got $50 left. So you're finding good edge rushers, young guys in the draft. So doesn't mean it goes to the top of the list, but it's up there, close. You want to hear my thesis?
No? Go ahead. Of course, I was ready for it.
The league is changing. It changed, and the Chiefs helped change the league. And it's been so subtle, and it's been disguised. What's happened in this league the last 2 years in specific, maybe 2.5, is it's turned into a defensive time of possession, don't turn the ball over, we'll take the ball, who's efficient, who can make the key plays. We're actually back somewhat to the 90s. It just doesn't look the same because we're camouflaging these plays. We're not lining up in two back and running ISOs and leads and powers. We're running short passing games, tunnel screens, hooks. These looks like a check down throw, but it's really not. It's a one-man screen. You want to go through these? Time of possession. Of the top 9 teams in time of possession in this league, 8 of the 9 are in the playoffs. Buffalo leads it at 33.09. They're protecting their defense. Have all year. So they're going to play you. So my point is, the Chiefs not giving up a gob of points, and I want to talk with Spags about this. Teams are not playing to get a gob of points. Kansas City in 2019, when they won Super Bowl 54, was 19th in time of possession because they were explosive, right? Number 2 time of possession in the league, Chargers, 32 minutes and 30 seconds. What are they doing? Don't turn it over. Herbert, don't turn it over. We're going to play to the defense. We'll play field position, eight-minute drives, and let's hope we get a touchdown in the 8 minutes. Tampa Bay's third. They almost made it. That's third. That's the only team in the top nine at time of possessions that didn't make it. And they were New Orleans' win away from blinking the playoffs. Fourth is Houston. 31 minutes and 49 seconds. Play to the defense. We'll play field position. Stroud, don't turn it over. We'll get enough explosive plays. Fifth, Jacksonville, 31 minutes and 27 seconds. Hey, Lawrence, you can get a big play on there. We're going to control the game. We'll control it. We dictate terms. Defense is pretty good. We'll score at the end of these eight-minute drives. New England is sixth, 31 minutes and 18 seconds. They're playing this way too. Seventh, Denver, 31 minutes. Knicks, just don't turn it over. We're going to throw 18 tunnel screens. We'll throw a check down to Harvey. We'll run the ball to Harvey. We'll throw a check down that looks like a check down to Harvey, but it's really a disguised screen. This is all camouflage and window dressing. But eighth, Chicago, 30 minutes and 49 seconds. Ninth, San Francisco, at 30 minutes and 42 seconds. And so the Chiefs defensively have got to get off the field. That's one big part of this. They were 29th in the league, and the average number of plays against the Chiefs was 8.81 plays and scoring plays. And then last in the average time to score by the opponent at 4 minutes and 25 seconds. That is a positive if you get the stop at the key time. And that didn't happen. You lost six games of the 11 by 3 points or less. Six. Which, to your point, is saying maybe it's not that far off. But then if you look and kind of turn the screws on a little bit, you're seeing that there's some hidden things there that have got to improve that could give you three or four more wins right out of the gate next year.
I think to your point, I think the shift was defenses were really big and heavy, and then the spread offense came in, and you can't defend it with 340-pound guys that can't move sideline to sideline. Defenses got a lot lighter, a lot faster, and now offenses have just said, well, the way to counteract this is just to run the football more effectively and just dominate the line of scrimmage. Like, one thing that really stood out to me...
Or disguise runs. Passes of 5 yards or less that are essentially runs, but we disguise it.
One thing that stood out to me watching, I would say, the most important games this week. So the game that decided the one seed in the NFC and then watching the college football playoff. Man, for the most part, it was which team is the more physical up front and which team can establish the line of scrimmage. That was the team that won. Like, watching that Ole Miss game, I think Georgia's a better team than Ole Miss. Man, Ole Miss just dominated it. Miami, I think Ohio State has the most talent of anybody. Miami just decided we are going to beat you up for the next 60 minutes.
And we don't think described Indiana.
Yeah, okay. And we don't think you can do anything about it. Indiana, the exact same kind of way. So I'm with you. When it comes to the Chiefs and where I think this thing got a little bit off on both the offensive and defensive side, offensively, when it comes to running the ball, they didn't have the ability to be physical with you in that way. And the same way on the defensive line. And if you can't control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, it's just tough to consistently beat teams in this league right now.
And I think where I would take your point further, the fact that these edge rushers have become so good. These are Olympic athletes. Think of Nick Bonito. But he's a little undersized. This isn't necessarily the Neil Smith types. They're more of the Derek Thomas types. But what do teams do to counteract that? They'll either run at them or try to run by them or set up a bubble tunnel screen where I'm just throwing the ball by you. I'm getting a four-yard pass by you to get another couple blocks and maybe get 14 or at least get to third and two. How many times do you see teams now trying to get, let's get to third and two, third and three, third and two, so it becomes an automatic four-down territory? We're seeing that too in the league. But I do think, and I agree with you, it is the byproduct of these defenses getting faster because the plotting teams that just run the ball and slam the ball at you doesn't always work either. But if you tweak that enough to, and the ball's coming out fast, if you look at Bo Nix and Trevor Lawrence, their release time is microscopic. It's just out of there so fast. When Tua was playing his best ball, he's just getting rid of it and so fast. And that mitigates your speed rusher guys. But how do you get rid of the ball fast? Quick digs, tunnel screens, bubble screens, checkdowns, fake checkdowns, little baby screens. So the league has changed. And so it'll be curious to see what happens in the playoffs because it's going to – It's going to be almost the theme of every one of these games, in my opinion. Rams are a little bit different, but even the Seattle is sitting here. They're not in this top nine, but they play to that defense. Sorry, they do. And don't turn it over. Just don't turn it over, and don't 5 and 7 step pass drops are becoming the way of the dinosaur, at least now, until the league adjusts backs.
That is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the last time we're going to talk to you, Mitch, for a while. I'm sure we'll catch up once we get closer to free agency and closer to the draft. But you know what? Next Monday at 4 o'clock, I'm not going to see you. That's going to be sad.
Well, yeah, it'll be withdrawal.
I will say this. You haven't been to
a Super Bowl party. So what?
You haven't been to a Super Bowl party in a while. You'll get a chance this year to go to one.
No, that's true. The other thing I'm going to do, and I've never done it, and I got to be full admission, 32 seasons of being the voice of the Chiefs, something I've never done, I'm going to do this year, is go to the combine in the flesh. Never done it. Why? I wasn't, when we were on these runs, before the runs, I was doing college basketball. I would do 20 to 25 games a year. And that's hard to get that squashed in after Valentine's Day. But like the years where we were out of it, and pre-Andy, or even the first 5 or 6 years of Andy, I'm doing college basketball. I'm looking at January going, there's stuff to do, but I'm not trying to get to Chicago after we get off the air here, and then I've got to get to, I don't know, Baylor right after that, and then, oh, let's go up to North Dakota or something. I mean, that's the life I had. I don't have it this year. So I'm going to the combine. I'm going to check it out.
Look at that. Mitch Holtz is out here changing lives right now. Changing your own life, Mitch Holtz.
So I'm excited about it, but what a year to go to the combine, because the 26th draft needs to be a home run.
For sure. And you know they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're teaching an old dog new trick. For the first time in your life, you're going to the combine in Indianapolis.
Just put the fake rabbit out there. I'll chase it.
I'm going to tell you right now, you got to go to St. Elmo's. That's what everybody says.
Been
you got to go to St.
Oh, no.
So you got to go during the combine. It's different when you go during the regular season. Because I think everybody in the NFL is at St. Elmo's.
Because I love shrimp cocktail. My wife will tell you, and I make some pretty good homemade shrimp cocktail, but I've got to go deep on the horseradish. She doesn't like, man, it barely, You go to St. Elmo's, you're getting your nostrils cleaned out. Forget about Mucinex. It's over. You'll come out with the best nostrils and the best, lack of congestion in your life. I've not been there during the combine, though. I'm getting ready to go. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to take Matt McMullen to it.
Look, you got to take Matt McMullen to the combine.
We're going to Knightstown, Indiana. Why? Hoosiers gym.
Oh, my goodness.
Hoosiers gym.
You're out here. You're checking on bucket list items.
I took Charlie Spoonhour, though. We did a game at Indiana State. You remember Charlie, right? Mm-hmm. And just a great guy. I love the guy. I know you're over time. Sorry,
you're
Rob.
You're good.
Check down, Rob. It's the last time. Cool it. Tell Rob to cool it. All right. So we're supposed to go to the West. We have a game the next day in St. Louis or whatever. We're in Terre Haute doing Indiana State. I turn east. He goes, we're going east. I go, I know. Just stand down. We went to Knightstown. It's not that far away. Hoosiers gym. Oh, my gosh. It's awesome. They've done such a great job of keeping that thing. You are walking into that movie. Gene Hackman's somewhere around the corner, and I'm taking Matt McMullen there.
I'm happy. That's Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is brought to you by GEHA, also by Silverstein Eye Center, and also the gym from Hoosiers. Coming up on the other side, Mitch said something really important, and I know this will happen at some point in three. I will tell you right now, if I could press a button and the Chiefs draft this player, I'll tell exactly who I would draft. Keep right here to drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right. I think you guys will learn over the next 3 months or so, I am not mock draft guy. Now, I understand that some of you love mock drafts, and this is not me putting down mock drafts. We don't know. I'm looking on social media, Rob. You see the exact same thing that I'm seeing right now. People going mock draft crazy. We don't even know the complete draft order yet. We haven't gotten through free agency yet. There's so many steps until we get to a mock draft. Now, I'm not going to say I don't care about any mock draft, but you got to get me to the week of. We got a long way to go. So I know I'm giving you this long preamble, but I'm telling all of you this. I have no clue how the draft is going to break down. But if you were telling me right now I could press a button and lock in a draft pick for the Chiefs, maybe this means nothing. Maybe it means something. Maybe this player goes with the fifth overall pick and what I'm telling you ends up being a waste of time. But if you were telling me right now, who do I want the Chiefs to draft? I want the Chiefs to draft Reuben Bain Jr., the defensive lineman from the University of Miami. That's who I want them to draft. I know I've preached hard about running back, and trust me, we'll talk about the run game as well, and I think the run game is a major reason of why the Chiefs missed the postseason this year. I think the biggest problem that the Chiefs had this season, they don't get pressure on the other team's quarterback, and they have spent a lot of money and a lot of resources on having guys that could get to the other team's quarterback. Rob, do you want to know what the leading sack guy on the Chiefs was this year? It was 7. Chris Jones got 7 sacks. George Karloftis this season got 6 sacks. Charles Omenihu got 3.5 sacks. These are the guys who are supposed to generate the pass rush for you. We have seen Chris Jones right before our very eyes go from a guy who went from 15.5 sacks to 10.5 sacks to 5 this season, and then he just sprinkled 7 this year. Your leading sack guy for championship-level defense cannot get you 7. If there is a theme that I noticed, and I'm sure you did too if you watch these games, and I get it, the holidays, you got stuff going on, kids, family, I get it. It's my job to watch these games, so I was watching them. There was a theme. The more physical team won all of these important games that we saw over the last 4 or 5 days or so. Go back to the college football playoff. Go back to Sunday's matchup between Seattle and San Francisco. Go to the game last night between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Who was the tougher, more physical team up front? Could you create pressure? Could your defensive linemen disrupt timing and disrupt the flow of the game? That was the team that won. The Chiefs did not have that ability at all this year. They need a dog up front. Mitch used the term, they need a flesh eater up front. Same concept. They need a level of nastiness. Everybody's just gotten too nice. Everybody's just got too happy. We're doing documentaries and we're doing... No. You need somebody who is coming in hungry, looking to prove something. You need that same attitude from a Frank Clark who stood there and said that everybody is talking down about us, even though you were the home team in the AFC Championship. No, everyone thought you were good, but that's the mindset, that's the mentality that you need. Who's their dog on defense? Who's the tone setter? Who's the guy that gets physical, who gets rough, who holds guys accountable, who plays with that sort of reckless abandon? Because we can look at all of the teams that you think can win the Super Bowl. I bet you I can point that person out on their defense. They need a guy who can physically set the tone. If you're telling me right now, Carrington, who do you want? I want them to get Bane Jr. from Miami. If you watch that playoff game, I'm not going to say he single-handedly won them the game. It was a lot of other guys. But the mentality behind that defensive line and how they got after Julian Sain and how they got after Ohio State, it started with him. And it turned into a sack party. Meet me at the quarterback. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? He was relentless. He was tough. He has the exact mentality that I think the Chiefs need for next season. So, Rob, if I had to press the button right now, that's what I'm pressing the button for. And again, I'm not the biggest draft guy. So if you're telling me, oh, well, that guy's going to go, I don't care. I'm telling you, as somebody that watches football, he has the personality that I think they need. They need somebody like that. They need a dog. They need somebody who can bring the pain. They didn't have anybody on their team that could do that this year.
So I agree. I actually, if we're making picks for who they want to draft on January 5th, A, who cares? But B, my pick would be David Bailey. For a lot of the same reasons.
Same concept, like, for
yeah,
sure.
We're the Spider-Man meme. We're in the same ballpark. We're doing the same thing.
For sure.
You just want Reuben Bain. I want David Bailey. He tried his absolute hardest to win the Orange Bowl by himself. He had no help from his quarterback. That Texas Tech offense was awful. Doesn't matter. That was a close game into the fourth quarter because David Bailey was dominating a good offensive line in Oregon. I will say this, though, and here's my question for you, because I agree. They need dogs, they need flesh eaters, whatever team you want to use. Hasn't one knock of Andy Reid's tenure everywhere been that he is too often a finesse team? Like, isn't this whole run encapsulate show the world that Andy Reid maybe prefers a little finesse over a little nasty? Because ever since Frank Clark left, who's been that, you know, flesh eater, whatever team you want to use? It's been a lot of win by finesse, not a lot of maulers up front.
Yeah, but I guess in this, and maybe this is me giving Andy a pass, I put that defensive side, that's on Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, this team spent a significant amount of money for George Karlaftis. And Rob, you remember, this isn't even me patting myself on the back. I remember saying, I don't know why they're in a rush to pay George Karlaftis. Like, he hasn't really shown it yet. You're kind of banking that he can take that next jump. Like, let's just wait and let's see this out. Everybody told me, hey, this is a great deal. You want to be early to the process? Sure. The Chiefs got early on in the process. George Karlaftis had 6 sacks this season. 6. That's the second. He's played 4 years, Rob. He has 2 seasons in which he has 6 sacks. Last year, he had 8 sacks. You spent a first-round draft pick on George Karlaftis. So one of the reasons is not them being a finesse player. It is, this is an organization that has spent incredible resources on pass rush. They have spent 2 first-round picks on pass rush in the last 4 years. They have spent a $100 million contract on Chris Jones on pass rush. Felix Onyedike Uzomah is one of the biggest busts in Chiefs history. George Karlaftis regressed in year 4 after getting paid. And Chris Jones is a shell of himself of what he used to be. That's their problem right now. We can talk about running back. We can talk about all of these other things. The biggest answer to what went wrong this season for the Chiefs is they let their defensive line deteriorate. And if you look at the National Football League, the teams that are winning, the teams that have a chance, you got to dominate the offensive line of scrimmage. The Chiefs couldn't run the football this year at any point, and we were trying to justify, well, I mean, if you run 3.7 yards per carry, I mean, if you run it 3 times, that's the first, stop it. We all watch football. If you run the ball for 3.7 yards per carry, your running game stinks. We all knew this. And if Kareem Hunt is your best running back, again, we watch these games. That's not San Francisco's running back. That's not Green Bay's running back. That's not Denver's running back. That's not New England's running back. We were trying to sit here and justify that Kareem Hunt was their second best offensive player in 2026. For the last 2 years, their best offensive players have been a 36-year-old tight end and a running back who was unemployed. That's what happened. Control the line of scrimmage on offense. Control the line of scrimmage on defense. You can turn this thing around by focusing on those two things this offseason. We'll reset things coming up in the hits. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back to the show. Rob, you want to talk about Darren Peterson right here? Or you want to wait?
I mean, we can.
I'm just asking.
It's not going to make me happy.
If you want to keep talking football, we can. Or do you want to talk about Darren Peterson? Because I remember when, I mean, back in the day, we used to stop whatever we were talking about to talk about Darren Peterson. Not a kid playing. And now you don't know if you want to talk about him or not. We got
a
little time.
I'm sorry. Did you watch a different game Saturday than I did?
I watched it.
Is he playing? Because if you went out and did something at halftime, I'm sure you would count him as
playing.
No,
I watched it.
Second half, did he play? He played the same amount of minutes as me and you.
This is the thing. And this is me giving you, this is not me trolling. This is not Missouri fan Carrington. This is sports talk radio host in Kansas City, Carrington. Darren Peterson, his family, whomever, they have put Kansas in a very impossible situation. I don't really think this Kansas team is that good without him. I think they're fine, but I mean good by like a Kansas standard. I mean, you can't win the Big 12 without Darren Peterson. I don't think they can be a top four seed in the NCAA tournament without Darren Peterson. I mean, they'll be fine. Like, let's say that right now Darren Peterson says, you know what? I'm too hurt. I'm going to shut it down, and I'm going to go get ready for the NFL or NBA draft. Nothing that KU fans care about. I mean, when they have that entire trophy case, when you walk in and all of the banners, you will not put a single one of those up this year if Darren Peterson is done for the rest of the year. I also don't know how you do this with the current power structure that they have anyway. I mean, don't know how to operate if I don't know if Rob's going to be here from 2 to 6. Like, even if we had somebody else to do the producing thing, if Rob just, I didn't know if Rob was going to be here at 5 or when he's going to be done at 4:30 or 4. It would make the show very, very difficult for it to be the best possible show that it could be. Right now, Kansas has a structure in which their best player, if he plays, and they don't know when he's going to play, he can't finish the game. He has not finished a single game this year. This is not me telling you that I don't think he's hurt. I think it is obvious that he is hurt. But I can't be the only one that noticed this. I'm watching the game. I was actually at the other place when I was watching the game. Darren Peterson is playing. He then goes over to the bench. Darren Peterson then gets up, and it's like they have a special Darren Peterson chair. He does not sit in the same chair as everybody else. I can't be the only person that noticed this. It's like they have a special Darren Peterson is hurt chair. He then grabbed that little sharper image Theragun, and I knew right then in that moment, he's done. He's not coming back. Anytime I've seen him grab that little Theragun, he was done for the rest of the day. And when that happened, KU, who was looking like they were in danger of getting blown out at that point, it was like everybody just kind of looked over and realized that Darren was done. And then everybody just kind of locked in and were like, all right, I know what we need to do now. I can't be the only person that noticed this with KU. I don't know what you do if you're Kansas. I really don't know what you do. This might honestly be worse than Michael Porter. At least Michael Porter, he just didn't play. Michael Porter got hurt in the first game and then didn't play again in the regular season for Missouri. Now, sure, it was always the back and forth of is he going to come back, but it's not like Michael Porter started the Kentucky game and then scored 17 and then was done for the... No, that's not what happened. This might be one of the more difficult situations we've ever discussed in college basketball. I think he's hurt. I really do. I think he's hurt. I think if he was in the NBA already, I don't think he'd be playing right now. I think he would just be sitting out and they'd be telling him. I think he's trying to play through this at KU because I want to be here. I want to play. It's impossible to not hear the conversation around you. You're an 18, 19-year-old who has grown up on social media. You got to hear what they're saying about you. If I hear what they're saying about you, and I don't cheer for them at all, I know you hear what they're saying about you. It really is an impossible situation that Darren Peterson is in. I don't envy it a bit. I mean, I can't relate. My team won on Saturday, so I mean, I don't even know why I'm having this conversation with losers, but it really is a tough situation. I'm saying that as a sports fan. I don't know what you do if you're Kansas.
I will say, as this thing is, I feel like I'm just like Groundhog Day. Bill Self met with the media today. There is absolutely no thought of shutting him down for the season, and he's probable for tomorrow. I don't understand it.
It's like you guys are trapped. That's what it's like. I'm serious. It's like Kansas basketball is trapped. It's like they are in a bad contract. That's what it's like. They're in a bad contract.
Except for in a bad contract, you hate it all the time. When he's on the floor and playing, is it good?
Okay, but he's never doing that. But you know something's going to go wrong. Something has gone wrong every single time he's gotten on the court at Kansas. There's not been a time it's gone right. He hasn't been able to finish the game yet this season. We're at conference play. Rob, I'm not even trying to be funny. You're a Kansas basketball season ticket holder, and you've never seen him play. You're going to the game tomorrow. You have no clue if he's going to play or not. And if he does play, if it's a close game in the final 5 minutes in the second half, are you sure he can play?
I will say this, to your point, I was probably more locked into the post-game comments than you were. I'm just going to guess. I assume you were not locked in.
I don't care about the post-game comments. I ain't got nothing to do with me.
I'm just going to assume.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't mind watching the Kansas games. I got to watch the Kansas post-game? Absolutely not. But that's your job, Rob. Watch it for us and report.
The minutes restriction conversation and that thing is just mind-numbing.
You know how you got to use them? You got to use them like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance. Remember Michael Jordan told that story, how he could only play 7 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you got to start using Darren Peterson. That's it. You got to use Darren Peterson like Michael Jordan in his second year when he broke his foot.
But then again, today with his press availability, Bill Self said, yeah, it wasn't a minute restriction problem. His leg just tightened up. So why did the minute restriction ever come up? It rang in my head what you said. Every time Bill Self has talked about Darren Peterson's health, it makes fans more mad. He mentioned a minutes restriction for the first time anyone has ever heard that. I know you don't follow KU basketball like you listen to the press conference and stuff. Had you ever heard of a minutes restriction for Darren? I hadn't. You hadn't. KU fans hadn't. He said it in postgame, and then today he was like, nope, that's not a thing. Just tightened the leg. Why? Why is he talking?
Let me ask. This is a real genuine question. If Bill Self came to you and asked, what should I do? What would you tell him?
Put him on an actual minutes restriction and play him last 5 minutes of games?
I think it's in Kansas' best interest to sit down Darren Peterson.
For the whole season?
Until
he's healthy, that's fine. I'm with you. But shutting him down just to shut him down and be a six seed,
he's not healthy.
KU.
He's not healthy. This strategy I've never seen Kansas basketball bend over backwards for a player like they are doing right now with Darren Peterson. You've never seen them do this before. Now, maybe this is a last year went so poorly for you guys and you're willing to do everything to get back to your position. He controls your team. Right now, he's bigger than Kansas basketball. He's bigger. I will play when I want to. I'll practice when I want to. I'll sit down. I just don't know how you run a team this way. If you can play, you can play. If you're hurt, you're hurt. We respect it if you're hurt. But if he can't play 25 and 30 minutes and play in critical stretches, I just don't know how you grow as a team with him on the floor with the uncertainty of not knowing when he is going to be there. I say this with no hate, no trolling, no shade. I think it's in Kansas' best interest to shut down Darren Peterson for the time being, because we keep playing this. Well, I mean, they got Iowa State coming up in a couple of days. I hope he's back for that game, and then he'll come back for that game, and it'll be the exact same situation. The kid's hurt. He's hurt. He can't play. If he played on the Spurs, he wouldn't be playing. The Lakers would not let him do this. The New York Knicks would not let him do this. They wouldn't. They would not let him do this. Sit Darren Peterson down. And if he's down for the next 8 weeks and he gets back for the Big 12 tournament, but he can play, then we can have a conversation. That's what I would do. I know that no one at KU asked for my decision. They smoked my favorite college basketball team. So what does it matter? This is not working for anybody. No one can be happy with the current situation they have going on right now at KU. And either something has to change. He has to get healthy, or an adult has to make a decision, because the kid is going to try to play. I think he's trying to play. Somebody in a position of power needs to tell him no. And I don't know who that person needs to be. We'll talk Chiefs in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.